Lord, hallelujah. You say, preacher, how can I enter in the presence of God? Well, just open your heart as wide as you can. Be as honest as you can about your love for Him and your need for His help in your life. See, we make much ado about the scripture, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What good would it do for Him to be here if He didn't manifest Himself to us? How would you know if He was here? How would you know if He wasn't here? Most churches don't. The program, we're so good at doing church. Aren't we good at doing church? Most of us know pretty much what to expect when we get to church. We have a certain amount of songs. We sometimes have a special. We throw an offering in sometimes. Amen. And we have a sermon, and we have a benediction, and we all go out and do whatever is on our agenda for the rest of the day. And frankly, it's representative of the week. Whatever's on our agenda for the rest of the week, nothing is really going to be altered necessarily. Nothing is going to be changed. But when you encounter the presence of God, just one touch from the King changes everything. Can you say amen? If God is able to touch you today, everything will change. Your agenda will change. If you're not changed, then we're not making any spiritual progress. We're just drifting along, meeting the status quo, which is very, very short of true revival. Well, we didn't come here to meet the status quo. We could do that very easily. We're not flashy enough, amen, to carry on without the presence of the Lord. He's here today. Whether you enter into His presence or whether you do not, He's here today. And He would love to find a place in your heart and my heart to manifest His grace, His love, His mercy, His power. The greatest defense against the enemy is that satisfied soul that is so satisfied in Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're not used to church like this. Well, welcome to something different today. Can you say, man, if it doesn't change, we're going to be the same. I like that saying that we used to say back when we first started this ministry 38 years ago. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You're going to be mad or you're going to be glad. Can you say amen? But you ain't going to be the same when you leave here. Some leave glad and some leave sad. But they're not the same. Can you say amen? Some leave early because they can't take the heat. The heat of what? Because I'm coming down so hard like a hammer. No, it's not me, darling. The Bible said the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And you know what Jesus said? Give you a little help when the hammer falls. He that falls on this rock shall be broken. Won't hurt you. It'll just get you to a place that God can work with you. Can you say amen? He that falls on this rock. I don't know about you, but I love to just put my full weight of my whole life and being on Jesus Christ. He that falls on this rock, what's going to happen? My will is going to be submitted to His. My will is going to be broken. His will is going to be able to be done. He that falls on this rock will be broken in a good way, a positive way. But upon him whom this rock falls, it will grind him to powder. That's pretty serious, isn't it? You can walk out of here playing church in rebellion, walk in direct, distinct disobedience against God. It's hard, the scripture said, to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? How many in here have ever plowed with oxen? I see no one has. I haven't either. But when they were plowing with a team of oxen, some of those ox were hard-headed. And they would kick back when they were goaded on to go forward. They would kick back at their masters. Kick back at their masters. Ox are not the only ones that kick back at their master. David said, don't be like the ox or a mule to covenant Israel. Can you say, man, that what kicks back at their master? So what they would do on the ox cart, they would put spikes. So when that ox decided, I don't want to go, I don't want to pull, I ain't doing what my master wants, I'm doing what I want to do, kick. When they kick, they get a spike in the foot. And they say, ooh. Well, maybe I can do what the master says. Can you say, man, maybe it's not so bad. He feeds me. He takes care of me after I get where we're going. He brings me water to drink. He puts me in a place that's warm when it's snowing outside. Maybe it's better to just obey him than it is to kick against the pricks. I can tell in any audience who's kicking against the pricks, because it's a joy to serve him. But when you kick against the pricks, you've got to face long enough to, as Jimmy Swaggart used to say, eat oats through a 2-inch pipe. Amen. That's a pretty long face, isn't it? And your face betrays your walk, because it's a joy to serve him full out. But if you're halfway committed and you're kicking against the pricks, it's hard. The Christian life for you is something that is hard and difficult. Jesus said, don't let it be like that. Surrender to me. Get off the fence. Hallelujah. Surrender. It won't hurt you. He that falls on this rock will be broken in a most positive, wonderful, precious way. But upon whom this rock falls, it will grind him to powder. You're going to meet Jesus as your Lord. You're going to meet him as your judge. There's only two ways you can meet this man. I want to meet him as my Lord and my master. It's okay with me that he's my master. And when he goads me, I want to be quick to obey. Because that goad is not a whipping. It's just a nudge and say, come on now. You know better than that. And I say, yeah, I do. Amen. And thank you for reminding me whose child I am. Can you say, man, sometimes in services, I need a reminder of just whose child I am. I belong to the Lord and I love belonging to him. Let's sing this one more song. Praise God. Amen. Nothing satisfies me or will satisfy you like a full surrender to Jesus Christ. Someone is not coming here because they are convicted. We get that compliment quite often. Isn't that incredible that Christians don't want to be convicted of sin when they're in church? What does that tell you? That tells you that there's unconfessed sin and we need to deal with it, but we'd rather not. I would rather deal with it. Amen. I want to be right with this. Say it with me. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Amen. How many know that church is a good place to get right with God if you need to? If you don't need to, then you know, you won't be convicted. I get convicted quite often. I quite frankly enjoy being convicted by the Lord, because I know I've got a Father who's watching over me and keeping me from the evil one. He's challenging me. Praise God. He doesn't want me to get into the trouble Satan has desired and designed for me. Praise God. He loves me too much. Amen. Every son that he loves, he chasteneth, scourges everyone that he receives. So if you're without chastisement, the Bible said you're bastards and not sons. That's the word that's used in the King James New Testament. In other words, you don't really belong to God. Amen. Well, we want to verify that we belong to God. So if you're doing wrong and you're not getting a whipping, you need to get saved. Hallelujah.
Pastor, please.
Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Because as he's talked about the enduring fight, and but God is greater than the fight. Yeah. See, God gave this man a vision many years ago. And the enemy comes, brother, and he tries to steal that vision.
Yes, he does.
But the devil is a liar. Sunday nights ago, brother, I couldn't help but get away. And I prayed for people because the enemies tried to stamp out the vision. I prayed for Doug. You weren't here, brother, but I prayed for you. I prayed for Mike. And I prayed for those that are a part of this ministry that have had a vision, because the enemies tried to stamp it out. Yes, but he's a liar. Is. And I'm going to tell you, the vision was for an appointed time.
Thank you, Father.
That vision was for an appointed time. Yes. The vision is for an appointed time,
Thank
the scripture
you,
says. And that vision is now. The
Thank
enemies
you,
tried to kill it, destroy it, and discredit it. But
yes.
That vision lives in you. And
Thank
as you go on your prayer walks, and as you converse and converse with God and
yes.
pray with God, that vision is going to burn brighter.
Thank you,
that
Jesus.
Vision is going to burn
Grant
like
it,
never before.
Grant
Father,
it.
I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, he may not know how to bring the vision out, but give him direction. Give him wisdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. Show him how to bring that vision out and write it out in a plain path, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the vision burn, Father, like it's never burned before, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we will give you the praise. We will give you the honor. And we will give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we praise you. We thank you today. We praise you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for changing everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to have to go with something different today, because this is all about a vision, and this is about a harvest. And a harvest is not about heads in a building and more numbers for the church to look successful. Harvest is directly, distinctly about souls and where they spend eternity. Can you say amen? This harvest is important to God. It's more important than churches and steeples. I like what one missionary-minded, visionary preacher said, evangelistic spirit inside of him. Because there was a church down in Miami. They were building their new sanctuary, true story. And they were getting ready to make a steeple, manufacture it just for that church. And the architect wanted to get with the pastor and wanted to know about the size and scope of the steeple that was to go on this brand new building. And of course, this is all for the Lord, you see. Amen. I believe in buildings. I'm glad we're in this one, should it rain, and I'm glad we're in it in the summer when it's air conditioned, and winter when it's cold. The church needs buildings, but it's not about the buildings. Getting people into the building is not what it's about. It's getting people into God's kingdom. It's getting people washed in the blood of the Lamb. So the architect got with the pastor and said how tall. They were discussing the dimensions for the steeple, the crowning part of this new building project. He said, I want you to go down to the public records of buildings in this city and churches in particular, and said, I want to make sure that our steeple is 1 foot taller than any steeple on any church in this city. What's that got to do with anything except the pride of man? That's all that represents. We're so good at doing church, we think we can satisfy God with a building that we say is for Him. You know what God said about buildings? Here's what He said. Number one, He said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. No building is going to draw His presence, no matter how beautiful we build it. Amen. It's different in the new covenant. Amen. His presence came in the old covenant to a building. It comes to a temple in the new covenant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And our body becomes the temple. The building is where the temple comes to worship on Sunday morning, according to the Word of God. He's not going to show up in this place because we make it more lavish and more pleasing to the eye. He's going to come here because hearts open to receive Him. What? Know ye not, Paul said, and I can ask some of you the same question. Amen. He looked at a congregation like this, sitting in a church building and not understanding and appreciating and appropriating the presence of God and that's available in your life. And he said, what? Emphatically, what? In the New Testament. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Amen. That God indwells you, His Spirit lives within you, and thereby making your body a holy temple, keep it holy. Can you say amen? Praise God. Why? Because God lives there. He sanctifies you with His presence as well as the blood of Christ. So we don't get it sometimes. Amen. There's so much carnality in the temple. Amen. That we bring all of that into the church building. Amen. Here's what God said in the Old Testament before I read this scripture. You know what He said? He said, the heavens are my throne. And the earth, the whole earth, is my footstool. And then he asks, because he knows how religious man can become without relationship in reality. Where's the house? He challenges. If the earth is my throne and the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool, where is the house that you will build for me? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? What building? Remember when they built the Crystal Cathedral, it was going to just wow God when he saw what that was. Well, you know, it's been sold now. Amen? Because it drifted over into just a positive thinking message instead of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not about the building. It's not about the cross or the steeple or the stained glass. It's about the people who opened their heart and life, amen, to receive and walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, the earth is my footstool. Heaven is my throne. Where's the house that you will build unto me? But to whom will I look then? If there's nothing we can build to bring his presence in the new covenant, to whom will he look? He said, even to him that is of a humble and contrite heart and spirit, that trembleth at my word. Can you say, man, that honors me enough to bow to me and to me alone and submit and surrender yourself to my sovereign authority? Can you say, man, that's got that humble, teachable heart? He said, that's where I'm going to head with my presence. And you know what the Bible said? Said the eyes of the Lord in the book of Daniel run to and fro. Everybody say Doppler radar. And I got up this morning, I wondered whether I need to bring an umbrella. So I turned on, I just typed in Clystron 9. Amen. I don't have to listen to the weatherman. I can look at that radar and be my own weatherman. Can you say amen? When I see that big band of rain on that Clystron, I look at Plant City and I figure down to 301 where church is. I say, boy, I got just enough time to get there. Or I say, boy, I better grab my umbrella. Amen. Because Clystron 9 has got me covered. That's a big radar system. Amen. I can see the whole state of Florida. Hallelujah. I brought my umbrella anyway, just in case it crept up on me. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord, strongest radar in the universe, covers the whole earth. They run to and fro. God, to whom will I what? To whom will I look? Can you say amen? And the eyes of, come on, he's not looking for a building, a religious system, a structure. He's looking for a person whose heart is open to him. Can you say, man, a heart that is purely trusting in him. The eyes of the Lord, the book of Daniel said, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Can you say amen? Amen. Did you know God knows your heart right now? He knows whether you just came to church or you came to this place to honor God. He knows whether you're just going to practice your religion or whether you're going to follow Jesus Christ. He knows where you love him with all of your heart or whether other things hold the first place and the predominant place in our heart. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks deeper than that. Can you say amen? God looks directly, distinctly upon the heart. Amen. If the eyes of the Lord is looking for a person to manifest himself to and through, I want him to stop. I want to be a big blip on his radar. Somebody say, I want to be a big blip on his radar. Because if I have him, amen, coming toward me already, and the day of trouble comes, I don't have to start by repenting and trying to get his attention. I have his attention. In fact, I have his undivided attention. I have him living in me and moving in me and blessing through me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to walk with God in this day. I was never satisfied with the routine and ritual of practicing religion without a real relationship with God. What a wonderful God we serve. Look with me real quick at this vision. God was looking for somebody to work through that would depend on his resources. He has to look for somebody weak. He has to look for somebody who doesn't have all the answers. He has to look for somebody that's so dependent on him that he knows without him, I can't do anything. Amen? That's why he chose Paul. That's why he allowed Paul to go through trials to keep him in that state of humility and dependence. Can you say amen? That's why he chose Peter. Because he knew Peter knew he didn't have what it took. He'd have to look to God with all of his heart. That's why you're a candidate. Can you say amen? If you're so adequate and you're so with it, amen, God can't do much for you or through you. Only those that are not, that feel and sense keenly their own inadequacies. Paul said, in my flesh, there's no good thing. Forget about it. Everybody say, forget about it. Can you say amen? Just forget about that. You can't conform the old flesh. The only thing you do is crucify. It's good for nothing. Can you say amen? In my flesh, there's no good thing. But in my spirit, where he dwells, there's every good and perfect gift. Can you say amen? And there's every good thing. Hallelujah. Listen to this carefully. In verse Matthew chapter 9, and let's read verse 35 on down. Listen to it carefully. This is where the vision begins. Oh, by the way, let me tell you what that evangelistic preacher said. He said, you can build a church. And it reminded me of that church down in South Florida, a very rich and powerful church as far as the building and the riches and the building itself, the steeple. He said, you can build a church out of the greatest architectural beauty and stone, and you can have the greatest stained glass windows that you've ever seen. When the sun comes up and comes through those windows, it illuminates that huge, wonderful building, and it's just a beautiful thing. Said, you can build the steeple so high that it interferes with satellites circling the earth. And God nor the angels won't give a holy hoot until one sinner walks down the aisle and gives his heart to Jesus Christ. There's not joy in the presence of angels when a building program is completed. But there is joy in the presence of angels when one sinner comes to repentance. Can you say amen? Buildings are going to fall one of these days. There's an earthquake going to come one day that's going to shake this old planet so hard, amen, that the Bible said the islands of the sea are going to fall away and mountains are going to crumble and buildings are going to fall. But the temple of the Lord, where he indwells you and me, is going to stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Throughout all time and eternity. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is not about buildings and number counts. I was at a pastor's luncheon years ago, and we were sitting at the table together. I was there with five other ministers at one of these round tables. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. But they were ministers in the city of Tampa. Two of them knew each other of the same denomination. And one of them said to the other, how's your building program coming? He said, well, it's coming good. We're right in the middle of it. And it's costing, as usual, way more than we first anticipated. We are going out into the community beginning next week to canvass the community to try to get people to join our church. Isn't that an incredible reason to go out and talk to people in the community that are unchurched? To get them to join the church so that the budget can be met? Can you imagine what Christ must think of that kind of attitude? He said, we have to add at least 20 or more families to our church to meet the budget. It wasn't about this lost neighborhood that's going to hell without God. How many know there's only one other place to go than heaven? How many know you never hear of it hardly anymore? How many know it's still the only other place to go other than heaven? Can you say amen? And if somebody ought to know that, by the way, Jesus talked about that other place, that alternative to salvation, more than he talked about heaven. Because if heaven isn't enough incentive, maybe hell is. And I'll be frank with you today. Amen. It took both to get me in the kingdom. It wasn't just the promise of heaven that brought me in. Amen. It was the reality that if I take my last breath tonight, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be banished and punished forever. Amen. I'm going to that place God never intended me to be. I'm going to that place that he made for the devil and his followers in heaven, the angels that fell. The Bible said he didn't want one man to go there. It's not his will that any perish. Don't think he built hell to punish those that don't come to Christ. No, he built hell for the devil and his angels. Not for man. It's not his will that any perish. He said, go tell them. Go tell them I love them. Go tell them I can save them. Go tell them I've sent them a Savior. Go tell them they don't have to be lost. Go tell them I don't want to punish them. I want to save them. Isn't that a good God and a gracious God? Amen. But you know what? Since hell wasn't made for man, but for the devil and his angels, but so many people are rejecting the gospel and kicking against the pricks. The Bible said hell has had to have a renovation program. Hell has enlarged itself to accommodate the nations of people that forget God and turn their back on God. The day of the weeping preacher, preaching with passion because he knows where the lost are headed. We got preachers proud of the fact that they never mentioned this place. That means they will not preach what Christ preached publicly. We're more interested in being men pleasers than pleasing God. I just read a program on the, I believe it was Discovery Channel or the History, one of those channels, and it was talking about George Whitefield, who saw many thousands of people saved. He talked about this place, this other place, and people didn't want to be lost. And it said when the altar call was made, they ran to the altar as if the flames of hell were licking at their heels. And they were afraid if they drew their last breath before they got right with God, they'd be lost. And they came to Christ and found the joy of sins forgiven. They didn't see following Jesus as a box that kept them from their sin. Amen. But they saw coming to Jesus as a key that unlocked the door to the prison house that held them in bondage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And seal them for heaven. You know what they said about Whitefield? They said people said the same thing that drew people to Whitefield's preaching is what draws them to horror movies in the theater. People like theatrics. They like to be scared, and then they like to walk out of the theater safe and sound. You know, you get so scared it's going to get you, and then you walk out and say, but it didn't get me. And in other words, that is passé. Amen. That is no more. That is old school. A man came to our church, paid me one of those other kind of negatives that became a compliment. He said, you're like a dinosaur. I said, thank you so much. What does that mean? Can you say, man, what kind of dinosaur? Am I a T-Rex? Or what am I? No, he said, you're like a dinosaur. And you know what he said? He said, you're like the old Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. Amen. He said when they moved out of the old Ryman Auditorium and they moved into their fancy new building and everything changed, said it'll never be the same like it was when the Grand Ole Opry was in the old Ryman Auditorium. Can you say, man, it was pure country. I don't know if you're into country music or not. Some people are, some people aren't. I like all kinds of music. Amen. Buddy Rich was into big band music. And a dear friend of his, he's played on Johnny Carson. He was a drummer. And on the way in, he died on the table during heart surgery. On the way in for the surgery, a friend of his went as far as he could with him as he was on the gurney going in. And he says, do you have pain anywhere? He said, only when I hear country music. Well, someone else might say, only when I hear big band music. Can you say amen? Listen very carefully. I want to be like the Ryman. It's not because I'm 65. It's because God never changes. It's not because I'm old school. It's because there's no new school. God is not doing a new thing. You know why? Because he's perfect. If he has to do something new and better to meet the demands of this generation, then he's not perfect and the gospel's not perfect. It's in progress. We have to keep editing it for every generation. No, the preaching of the cross saved in Christ's day, and the preaching of the cross saves in our day. And the real revival, not a little holy liver shiver on Sunday morning for a little while, but the true revival where souls are coming to Jesus, dedicating their life to Him, willing to lay down their life for Him in places like China and South America and Russia. The true revival is coming through one message. Jesus and Him crucified. Can you say amen? There's forgiveness of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God a Savior has come to forgive our sins. Can you say amen? One preacher in America said, I never preach on sin. Amen. Why in the world don't you preach on the very thing that Jesus died on the cross to save us from? Because it makes people uncomfortable. Thank you for calling me a dinosaur. Thank you for calling me a throwback to James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew. Thank you for identifying me with Isaiah and Jeremiah. And above all, thank you for identifying me with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. It breaks my heart when people come to church and need to come to God and they refuse to and say they don't want to come back to church because it convicts them. Of what? Of sin. But for heaven's sakes, the Bible said if we say we have no sin, we're liars. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen? Glory to God. That's what David cried out for. He embraced repentance. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Restore unto me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to grieve the Spirit. Amen. Restore unto me, Psalm 51 says, the joy of your salvation. Not salvation as we know it in the New Covenant, but in the Old Covenant, it was the word for when God came and delivered somebody. Restore unto me the joy of having a prayer answered where God really showed up and God really showed out. Can you say amen? Restore unto me the joy of your deliverance like the day that giant fell under the anointing. Sin will short circuit that until it's confessed. But when it's confessed, you can have that power back and that place with God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh! Clean heart, a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me and restore unto me. And listen, before the world starts listening, that capstone has to be put on. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Then sinners will be converted unto thee and transgressors will learn your way. They'll see my deliverance. They'll see my God coming through. They'll see my joy in praising Him. And they will want to know Him. Can you say amen? But until I have the joy that comes through absolute repentance and that clean heart and that right spirit, amen, I'm talking a big line. They're looking at me and they're not buying it. But when I'm right with God and when God is coming through for me, they start listening to what I have to say. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I can lead them to Jesus, the ones that will hear it. Amen. So God doesn't begin with revival by sending the world into the church. He begins revival with getting the world out of the church. Amen. Thank you for the amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when He gets the world out of the church, the world can teach transgressors His way and sinners will be converted unto Him. Oh! So revival starts with who? Them? Us. Glory to God. That's why the hammer is coming down. Hallelujah. My word is like a hammer. that breaks the rock in pieces. These old hardened hearts, gospel hardened, been to church so long, we do it well. But that heart is no longer broken in His presence, soft before it. The hammer is being laid to it, not to break us, but to make us into witnesses for Him. People He can use, hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a praise today. We're almost done. Hallelujah. You see, everybody say, I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. That was a song of the faith years ago. I've got good news to bring, and that's why I sing. My joy with you I'll share. For I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship, go sailing through the air. Can you say amen? Then it talks about the persecutions. If too much falsify, you'll sure be left behind while I go sailing through the air. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Along with being prehistoric, persecution doesn't just come to me through the world that don't know Jesus. I blow that off. They don't understand. They know not what they do. Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But when persecution comes through the church, through brethren, they know what they're doing. That church board knows exactly what they're doing when they're going out trying to get people to Jesus so they can get them in church so they can meet a budget instead of getting them Jesus so that they can be saved from the pangs, amen, of this second death. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Without that motive, no man should be in a pulpit. Without that motive, nobody should sit on the board of a church. Can you say amen? Amen. People fall into one of two categories, lost or saved, children of the light or children of the darkness. There is no intermediate. There is no in-between. Can you say amen? I love the song that was played at Brother Taylor's son's funeral. Tomorrow, tomorrow I'll get saved. Tomorrow, somewhere down the road, I'll give my heart to Jesus. Somewhere down the road, I'll get serious about my soul. Tomorrow, no one in this room is promised tomorrow. No one. God doesn't promise me tomorrow. He said, go to now. You that say, I will go into this city and build this and that city and do that. You should say, if the Lord wills. For you don't know what another day is going to bring. Can you say amen? I like to sing that old Christian hymn, The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago. Whatever tomorrow brings. If I have to stand before my master tomorrow, I'm ready to stand before my master tomorrow. My soul is saved. Hallelujah. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Glory to God. My faith is in Jesus Christ tonight. Listen very carefully. Once we lose the compassion for lost people, we don't see them as God sees them anymore. We see them as assets to our ministry. We see them as dollar signs. We don't see them as souls. We preach to get the money. We preach to build the big thing that is really a symbol to our success. I would love to build a building back here that holds about 500 people and then have to add on when we run 1,000 and just keep on keeping on until God's done filling. I'd love that. But the building wouldn't be the cause of our rejoicing. It's the 500 souls that have come to Christ. In fact, the Bible said just one is all it takes to stop everything that's going on in heaven and have a little hoedown. Do the chicken dance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's rejoicing in the, not just angels, but in the presence of angels. Can you say amen? Hey, listen, I believe David breaks down. I believe David gets down. David danced before the Lord with all his might when the ark came back. What do you think he does in heaven when a sinner gets saved? With an understanding. There's joy. Come on, everybody say there's joy. There's joy in the presence of angels. Oh, how many? One. Just one. Here's one soul that is worth so much. It took nothing less than the blood of Christ Himself to redeem it. Can you say, man, now that soul has come to Christ to receive the application of that sacrifice blood. Let's stop everything and let's rejoice. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One sinner causes all of heaven to rejoice. What do you think about what's happening in Mongolia? Did you hear that song? Amen. That's a song of the faith. Amen. John said, I saw them coming out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, and said, who are these? These are they that have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. I'll fall on this rock and be broken. We would have no reason to exist without the outreach. Everybody here saved. We're church people. There's churches with more programs, more things to do, more things to entertain you. Amen? Yes, there are. There are churches more entertaining than this. I'm no entertainer. People don't look very entertained right now, some of you. Amen? From my point of view, it doesn't look like some people are having a very good time. Just mention sin three times in a sermon. He said the three-letter word. Say the four-letter word and they'll skip right over it. Cut you slack and let you keep on preaching. Say the three-letter word and you're liable to lose your pulpit in some churches. Can you say amen? You say, Brother Venable, I'm not going to come back if you keep teaching like that. Well, the only person we just can't do without, I love you, but the only person we can't do without is Jesus. As long as he's with us, we're going to do something for God in spite of the circumstances. Can you say amen? We love you, but I didn't come to please you. I came to tell you what the Bible said. If you've got a problem with the Bible, quit staring at me and start looking up. Look at God the way you look at me. All I can tell you is time is on his side. Yes, it is. God's not going to change to accommodate a culture that wants to compromise his truth through church or anything else. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never gets tired. He never gets old. Can you say, man, he's the Lord God of Israel? He changes not. The book of Proverbs says, don't even meddle with them that are given to change. Can you say, man? God's requirement for his creation, it hasn't changed. He doesn't have to change it. The message of salvation is perfect. Jesus said it's finished on the cross. Can you say amen? That message was saved today. It's saving in China. It's saving. The born-again rate in South America has exceeded the natural birth rate. Isn't that incredible? And you know what Billy Graham said at a World Congress on evangelism some years ago, amen, in Holland, where they came from all over the world? He said there is a mighty move of the Spirit of God in South America. And there are churches that were running 50 that are running 5,000 within 24 months. And some churches running 10,000. And why is this happening? He said it is largely to the evangelistic effort of the Pentecostal church. Wow. And to think that another preacher said we just ate too much pizza. What Billy Graham is saying is, let's quit splitting hairs over the unimportant, i.e. whether you talk in tongues or not, and let's see who's winning the lost to Christ. That's what God's interested in. He's going to pour his anointing on those winning the lost, whether they talk in tongues or not. Can you say amen? But if they'll carry the gospel with a heart of compassion for the lost, God's going to pour his Spirit through them. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why he's pouring his Spirit right here. Amen. Why? Because we got a vision for more than just us and ours. We got a vision for the people that he loves. Listen to what Jesus said as I close. I got to close right now. Listen carefully. Matthew's gospel chapter. Did I say chapter 9? Okay. Let's go back to chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And let me begin reading with verse 35 through 38. Listen. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers, this is not just people trying to build a church as a success symbol to their own ingenuity. These are people who care about those lost people, who would give everything to see them saved. The laborers are few. It's only a few people with that heart and that vision. That vision. My vision is not to have a big church over here with ex-church people from other churches. My vision is to see people in this neighborhood, in this town, in this city, saved. Baptized in water, filled with the Holy Spirit, and following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's worth waiting on and not compromising to get. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the field. The Lord of the harvest has got to be the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, supernatural ability after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Can you say amen? He's going to come upon you not to just get in an upper room and ask for a replica of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Once he comes within you, and he sends you. Can you say amen? How shall they believe upon him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he go except he be sent? We're not just talking about offerings to support evangelists and missionaries. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the harvest, saying, Dale, I want you to go across the street and witness to that lady that's over there working in her garden today. Sean, I want you to take a little time to witness to that truck driver that just drove up with a delivery to Publix. Can you say amen? Robert Venable, I want you to quit Tampa Electric and retirement and all you've got invested. I want you to go to the city of Tampa. I want you to get in an inner city church. Amen. And I want you to tell everybody you meet about Jesus Christ. I'll take care of you somehow, some way. But you go for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what this is all about. Let me close with this. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. I saw the seraphim in that room, God manifesting, and they had three sets of wings that minister in the presence of God. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did move about. And I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I don't care how sanctified and holy you think you are, if you ever encounter the genuine presence of God, not just a goose pimple on Sunday morning, you will cry for holiness. You will cry out for sanctification. For I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just like them in so many ways. You've called me to prophesy, but I'm just like them in so many ways. And I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. God is looking at his excuses for not carrying his word. And he says, who will go for us? Who shall I send? And you know what? Most people, they feel so well qualified today because of their own abilities. Here am I, Lord. Oh, no. You picked a good one here. That's incorrect. How shall he go except he be sent? You know what apostle means? Sent one. One who is sent. One that God put his hand directly on and said, I want you to go preach the gospel, Paul. Hallelujah. every apostle in the New Testament that he called and he sent, he called them personally. He revealed unto them himself and called them personally. Some before the crucifixion and some after, but everyone was personal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It wasn't somebody that exalted themselves. The fact is, he got one of them out of the dust and he got up blind as a bull bat. Can you say amen? Had to go to a Christian, submit himself to be prayed for that God restore his sight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And he never exalted himself. Did you notice that? Paul never exalted himself. Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. Amen. But God chooses and he sends and he answers correctly. Here am I, Lord. Send me. You qualify me. Put your hand upon me. And suddenly an angel goes to the very burning altar in the presence of God, takes a live coal from that altar, and he comes over and he presses it to the lips of Isaiah. Amen? Didn't burn his lips, but an anointing came upon him. Can you say amen to speak as the oracle of God? How shall he go except he be qualified by the greatest Bible college and get so many PhDs they call him Dr. Fahrenheit? No, how shall he go except he be sent? We need to hear from somebody that God has sent. Amen. The world needs to hear the gospel from people that are sent into those harvest fields by the Spirit of God, because they're going to embrace them with love and compassion as they tell them about Jesus Christ. And they will not look at them as financial assets to our success symbol church. Preachers without passion don't have compassion. Because you can't look at this lost, dying world and this backslidden church world and this compromised gospel and not have some kind of passion when you preach. Can you say amen? Someone said one time, God called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. To afflict the comfortable. If you're happy where you are, listen real closely. That's a saw. It's sawing the limb that you're sitting on so comfortably. It's God doing the sawing. He does it to me quite often. Can you say, every time I think, boy, I'm getting good at it now. Boy, the anointing is flowing now. He says, it's not about how good you are at preaching, how the anointing's flowing. It's how close you're walking with me. And he's sawing that old limb of self-sufficiency off. And I got to grab hold of the tree and climb up a little higher to get on another limb. And I don't think I'll get to perch till I get home. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's been a lot of times I was on such a high limb. I thought, I'm going to perch right here. I'm just going to perch right here for a while. But I always hear that shh, 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 shh. That smells sawdust. Can you say amen? And I said, I better climb up a little higher. He's not going to let me perch right here. Praise God. Isn't God good today? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet this morning? How many people would be part of this harvest to do whatever God wants you to do? Thank you, Father. How many will be part of this harvest? You want to be part of this harvest. You want to grow in the Lord. You want to see souls saved. Praise God. You want to get closer to God. You want to walk with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want that to happen. Now, spiritual warfare has to take place to go into the harvest fields. Satan will not fight a secluded group of people that is sitting and not affecting any more people to any large degree. That's not how on his agenda. Amen. But you know he's going to fight people that have the potential to see other people come to know Christ as their Savior. He's going to pull out all the stops. Can you say amen? And the first step in winning that battle is to understand that your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to recognize the battle is really not yours. The battle is the Lord's. There's a lot of things I can't change, I can't do anything about, but Sean, the battle is the Lord's. This is His work. This is His word. Hallelujah. This is His outreach. I'm His servant. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're His sheep. I remind him of that quite often. I said, Lord, they ain't mine. They're yours. I love them, but I can't do what only you can do for them. They're yours. This is your sheep. I'm going to feed, not my sheep. You're not my sheep. You belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. He just asked me to feed you some good food on Sunday. He'll help you digest it. Praise God. Don't you love it when I lift you before the Lord? I ask Him, I said, Lord, spread your skirt over them. Not corporately, but individually, your individual names and families. And Lord, spread your skirt over them. Hide them in your pavilion and cover them with the covering of your spirit. Can you say, man? I don't know what you're expecting, but I'm expecting God to show up and show out in your life. Praise God. I'm expecting that. Praise the Lord. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're a growing church, not in number at this point, but we're growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we're graduating from milk to meat. Can you say amen? And strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that have grown up. Hallelujah. That by the reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern between good and evil, not just in the world about them, but in their own self. First step in overcoming the enemy is overcoming our flesh. You can forget about every other weapon in the battle until we get this man under control. But when you submit yourself unto God, resist the devil from that posture and that place of devotion, he will flee from you. Every piece of the armor comes into effect. But it doesn't start with putting on the armor. It starts with submitting to the Lord and surrendering to Him. And if that's in your heart, then the moment you do it, the battle is no longer yours. The battle is the Lord's. Can we sing it? How many want that to happen? Wave at me if you want it this morning. Yeah, but she hasn't. Yeah.
I know God wants to save this woman and the angels are working the woman to save.
Right.
But I'm literally going into like a hornet's nest.
You're going into a hornet's nest. The devil's still blind.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they want me. They got me to do the job. But I know too much experience. I know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Stretch your hand this way. Let's believe God. People are interacting with the world, and our vocations take us to not just our jobs, but to places where God can use us. Father, before we pray and close this service today, we pray for our brother. Lord, send him. Send him. Lord, when you send him on a job, Lord, do more than open up a door for work and profit. Lord, send him to people and go with him, Father, in the name of Jesus. They went into all the world with your gospel, the Lord working with them. So, Father, I pray that something spiritual will occur in these hearts, something that this man can't do even through his testimony, but you can do in the human heart. Hallelujah. Touch these hearts. Touch these lives. Father, bring them into the kingdom of God. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus that is blinding them and binding them. In the name of Christ, we plead the blood over this family that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did I hand you that? Hallelujah. Let's sing this song before we go. Are you glad you come? If you have to go during this song, it's okay. Did you share the vision? You want to get into the fields with us? Praise God. And roll up your sleeves. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. We must go
Yes.
To see the children.
Right.
They told us about the baby Diana.
Right.
So when we got there, we saw the situation. We prayed that the tumors would move under some pain.
Right.
They moved.
Yes.
She birthed forth an 8-pound, 2-ounce bouncing baby boy.
With no tumors. Hallelujah.
The baby pushed them back.
Yeah. And came anyway. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand today. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They went into all the world, preached the gospel to every creature, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, that's how we need to go into those fields with answered prayer and God showing up. Amen. Listen, folks, I know you're in a battle. I don't have to ask you about it. You don't even have to tell me about it. We can talk about it sometimes. I'll show you mine if you'll show me yours. Can you say amen? I'm talking about battle scars. Can you say amen? I got them all over me. You got them all over you. But here we stand today sharing a vision for the lost, the damned, and the dying, believing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because we have discovered that when we enter into this work in the harvest fields, the battle is not ours anymore. Can you say, man, all hell is breaking loose, but all heaven is breaking loose as well. Can you say, man, hallelujah. And let's give him praise in this song today and make it a testimony. And you can leave if you need to. We're glad you came today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is moving. Thank God for Mongolia and the work of God in Mongolia. Hallelujah. Bring that right up. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fall upon this rock and be broken. God will build you up. Hallelujah.
In heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength.
God's putting his hand on somebody. God's going to use somebody in this room. Hallelujah. Are you weak enough for him to choose and lean on him?
When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Sing it with me.
And we sing glory.
Redemption is near, the battle begins.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn around and shake hands with about four or five people and tell them the battle belongs to the Lord. Can you say amen? And let's see God's victories this coming year. Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you today. Thank you for sharing.